I'm originally from a place called Abbotsford, British Columbia, and moving a little over 2 years ago with my family, I have a lovely wife all the way from Montreal, Quebec, and she's straight fire, and she is, I have to say this, she's absolutely gorgeous. And how many know the glory of God makes you attractive? No, seriously, it makes you attractive. You ever looked at ministers and looked at their wife or their spouse, and you're like, how in the world did you get that? Listen, the glory of God makes you attractive. And I got a word for you today. You need some of us, we might need a little heavenly Botox. Come on, somebody. The glory of God will make you attractive. I remember being at a conference, and I saw this vision of loveliness, which was my wife and a wife-to-be. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Here's this beautiful girl. I said, God, what do I do? You know what the Lord told me? He said, Sammy, he's like, stick close to me. And I said, why? Because I look really good. No, I'm kidding. Me and my wife have been married 9 years. We have three lovely kids, all under the age of five, three girls. My oldest is Kaylin. She's 4 and a half. My second child, my Michelin baby, I call it. She was born a little over 10 pounds. And all roles, and her name is Taylor. And my third child is a little over 6 months, and her name is Jordan. And how many know that God loves to move in family? And that revival looks like family. And the one thing that I always do, and I want to encourage you, some of you, you need to do this. It's a practice that my family does every single time I go on the road. And we call it, it's our team meeting. And before I came here, my wife and my three girls, we all get in a huddle. It's our little prayer huddle, power huddle. And because my family releases me to be here. How many know you want the blessing of God and the blessing in your family everywhere that you go? And I'll tell you something. We can't sacrifice family on the altar of ministry. I'm going to say that again because some of us didn't get that. We can't sacrifice family on the altar of ministry. I believe that we're going to see revival in our churches, but also revival in our homes. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and abundant life. How many are believing God for revival in every area of their life? Financial, health, family, relationships, in the church. And I love it because we get together and we have this like this team meeting. And I love it because my little girl, Kaylin, she's 4 and a half. But she's a preacher, and she gets praying, and she starts releasing over Dad that miracles are going to happen, that we're going to see God move. And I always do this because I always have my kids, their impressions in my mind, because the one thing I'm asking the Lord, Lord, what kind of inheritance am I going to leave my kids and their children's children? Proverbs 13:22 says this, a good man, say good man, a good woman, leaves an inheritance for their children's children. How many believe in God that we can release a revival to our children's children? And the Lord spoke to me something, and it's been in my heart ever since, is that there's a generation that's contending for promise. There's a generation that's going to be in the promised land. But then he said there's going to be a generation, Samuel, that the very air that they breathe for the very first time will be revival. How many could believe God that we're going to see such a move that our children or our children's children, or maybe even some of us, our great-grandkids, the very air they breathe is a move of God. How many want to see that in Brooks, Alberta? And so that's something that we contend for as a ministry, as Voice of Revival. I travel all across Canada. We have a network of about 40 churches that we work with all across the nation. And it's amazing to see what God is doing. How many know God is moving in Canada? And we're in the midst of finishing up a documentary. We just sent a good friend of mine, his name is TJ Green, all across Canada to get testimonies of what God is doing all over our nation. And I want to encourage you, God is on the move right now in Canada. He is moving from the west to the east, from the north to the south. Churches are getting touched by God. God is moving in the streets of our city. Parliament is getting affected. Come on, somebody. The government is getting touched by the Lord, and there are things that are taking place, and sometimes I feel like we're in our own little bubble, but how many know God doesn't just see our church or our city, he sees our nation, and he has a heart for our nation, and that I still believe it is true today that he will have dominion from sea to shining sea. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. promised in you. The Bible says that he's the author and the finisher of your faith. I believe that we're in the greatest season of our life, whether we feel it or whether we don't. It's not the issue. Here's the truth. How many know that the ruling and reigning spirit over Brooks, Alberta, is not a demonic spirit? It's not a religious spirit. It's not a political spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And that same spirit rules over Alberta, over our government, even if we don't like everyone in our government. I know we need to pray for them. And even if we don't feel like there's things that are going, we're like, God, what's going on? All these laws. How many know God is greater than any law that is established, friends? And I'll tell you something. His dominion is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, it's amazing. I was sharing this on the first day. I have a ministry a lot to athletes. Me and my wife have an organization called Play for Life. We host community sporting events for kids. And part of the reason why I started is I just like to have fun. How many of you people just are big kids? You're a big kid in an older body. Come on, somebody. In heaven, I'm going to be like 18 for eternity. And so we started an organization. The Lord spoke to me and said, Samuel, I want you to create sporting events for kids for the purpose of rescuing children out of child trafficking. How many believe that we could see the ending of child trafficking in our generation? I don't know about you. The Lord told me, he said, I believe that through your generation, the Lord was speaking to me, that we will see the ending of child trafficking where every single child can be free and can live in freedom. I'm like, wow, that's a big thing. And I said, God, how are we going to do this? You know what the Lord spoke to me? By teaching people to have fun. And through having fun, you're going to teach them how to have a cause that's bigger than themselves. And I realized something, even in my own life, some of the greatest ways that I learned about God were having fun. You know, I'm a basketball player. I shared this on the first night. My dad was one of the top-rated basketball players in Canada. I broke Steve Nash's record in basketball in high school. And I used to play basketball like over 300 days a year, just shooting every day. And one of the things the Lord spoke to my dad was, teach your son about the things of God through having fun. He said, religion makes things boring. I don't know about you, I am tired of boring church. Some of us get uncomfortable. Oh, isn't church supposed to be boring? No. Some of us were like, oh my goodness. No, church is not supposed to be boring. It's supposed to be the greatest place. This should be the place where we're coming so filled with anticipation that God is going to do something new. Because how many know he's doing a new thing? And I feel like for so long, it's like we get into this place, well, I'm going to church. Oh, here we go. Hold on, Ethel, we're going to church. No, listen. Jesus is the most fun. Honestly, if you give him a chance, he's the most amazing person that you know. No, really. You know, I love doing youth conferences, by the way. It's some of my favorite because, you know, like you said, the proof's in the pudding. How many know the next generation can tell if you really believe what you say you believe? And I believe there's a move of God that's coming because the next generation is going to see the tangible love of Jesus and miracle signs and wonders like we have never seen before. And I remember I did this youth conference and I'm preaching about the goodness of God, how awesome Jesus is. And this guy comes up to me. I mean, like, praise God, you know, we shouldn't look at the outward. But can I tell you something? When your jeans are down to here, you ever seen those kids? Their jeans are here, and like they're wearing like Spider-Man underwear. You're like, bro, I don't want to see that. If I wanted to see that, I'll buy a comic book. Like, come on. And like, have you ever seen that? And I'm telling you, I call it Canadian thug life. It just doesn't look good. If that's you, stop it right now. Because so you see some of these kids, I don't know what it is, but it's like they look like they've been shot. You ever seen those guys? It's like, you know, the deeper the dip, the bigger the thug. Like, it's like, they're like this. And he's coming up to me. He's got a backwards cap on. And he comes up to me. He's like, what's up? I'm like, hey. He's like, man, I got to tell you something. I'm like, wow, okay. Tell me something. He's like, you know that Christianity? I said, yeah. He said, man, you know, in my church, it's so boring. I got to tell you something. I feel like Christianity is boring. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm like, if you think Christianity is boring, then you don't know Jesus. Come on, somebody. If you think church is boring, you do not know who Jesus is. Because I want to tell you, Jesus is the craziest person that you know. He's like the crazy uncle in your family that you want to sit down with because he's always got the testimony. I remember. Some of you are like, come on. Let me pull something here from the Bible just for you. Jesus ministers to a blind man. What does he do? He spits in mud and puts it in the blind man's eyes. That doesn't sound very Canadian. You can go to jail for stuff like that. This is the Jesus that would go into places and things would just blow up. Listen, Jesus is the most amazing person that you know. And I dare you to give him a chance. Because he'll push the envelopes in a way you never thought possible. Here's this kid. He's like, yeah. I said, yeah. God's gonna do something in you. And so that night, I said, listen, man. I said, you know what? Proof's in the pudding. Jesus is going to show himself strong. I want you to be my ministry team. He's like, me? I said, yeah. He's like, man, they won't even let me talk in youth group. I said, listen. Jesus had a ragtag group of disciples. Most of them weren't even qualified to do parking lot ministry. I'm going to tell you something, friends. The revival that's coming is going to look so much different than what we think. The revival that's coming is coming with tattoos, shaved heads, earrings all over their body. Come on, somebody. And that's just the women. Put their head in the river and catch a salmon. Well, I've been in this chair for 20 years. Well, get used to it. Listen, we could move that chair for you if need be. It's different. And this guy's there and he's going to be my ministry team. I'm thinking, God, why did I do that? This guy? I don't even know if he knows how to pray. He can barely walk. So I'm ministering, and God gives me some words, and I said, there's a girl here, you got an issue with your shoulder. She says, that's me, and then there's this girl in the back, and she comes up to the front, she's crying, and she says, I just had a volleyball accident. I was going up to spike the ball, and I hit one of my teammates, and I fell directly on my shoulder, and she rolls up her sleeve, and her shoulder is like green and black. You know what God tells me? You're not going to pray for this person. You're going to get homeboy to pray. Spider-Man pants. Said, God, now? Whoa. Well, I don't know what that was.
Test, test, test. Test, test, test. Check. Check, test, test, test.
I know. That's how I feel. Start praying. I'm going to hold the mic up here. I'm going to start panic prayer. Lord, please. It's amazing when, look at this. Pastors work together in unity. Great stuff happens. So back to Spider Pants. So here's Spider Pants. He comes up, and I said, I want you to pray. He says, okay. I said, are you for sure? He looks at me square in the face. He's like, I got this. I'm like, you got this. He's like, I got this. Can I tell you something today? You got this. You might feel like you're in the most impossible situation today, but can I tell you something? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you have more than what you think. And some of us today, we feel like we don't have much. But I'll tell you something. When you take what you have and you put it in the hands of Jesus, anything is possible. And there's this kid comes up. He's like, I'm going to pray for you. And you're going to get healed. I'm like, man, this guy's got faith, more faith than me. I'm in panic prayer. Oh, God, help, 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 help. He's like, right now, in Jesus' name, I release right now healing. Amen. All right. He's like, she's healed. I'm like, okay. And in front of a whole bunch of kids, a few hundred kids, all of a sudden that bruise starts to disappear, and she is completely, totally healed. And I'm freaking out. I'm like, dude, that's amazing. He's like, yeah, that's what I do. And I'm like, man, humble but proud of it. Why am I saying this? Revival looks different than what you think. Many of us, we've had prophetic words, we have promises. It's always different than what you think. But in the end, it's greater than what you could ever expect. I think sometimes we try way too hard to try to figure it out when the true excitement is found in the journey. You know, the Lord spoke to me and said, Samuel, I'm going to give you incredible favor in the Canadian Football League. And I said, oh, Lord, that's awesome. And I didn't know how it was going to happen. But I said, Lord, any way that you want to do it, I'm open. And has anybody ever heard of a guy named Sean Boltz before? Has anybody heard of Sean? Some of you, his podcast. And Sean Boltz is a good friend of mine. He's a prophet to the nations. He prophesies over kings, presidents. He just prophesied over a president in Southeast Asia just recently. And I call him a freaky prophet. You ever met freaky prophets before? They get words of knowledge like he was calling out. I was just in a conference with him. And there was a Russian couple, and he called out their names in Russian, didn't know them at all. The Lord gave him their names. How many would like to see that kind of word of knowledge? You're like, come on, Sammy, where's my name? It's on your license. No. So I'm with Sean. We're doing a conference in Stony Plain, Alberta. It's awesome. God's moving. And I'm just loving it. And a buddy of mine, he plays for the Edmonton Eskimos. He's a wide receiver. Now, he couldn't make the call that night because they had a practice, but he was so inspired. He's like, Samuel, I believe that God wants to speak to me. He wants to speak to my team. Could this prophet dude, he didn't even know who Sean was, could this prophet dude, you know, pray over me, pray over our team, and does he have a word? I said, okay, let me ask. So after the service, I said, Sean, one of the guys from the Edmonton Eskimos, wide receiver, he wants a word. He said, yeah, phone him up. So I get on the phone with my buddy. I say, hey, listen. Like, I got Sean here, and Sean gets on the phone. He says, man, he's like, I got a couple words for you. Does this date mean anything? And he gives this one date. And the guy's like, dude, he's like, that's my anniversary. I said, that's awesome. What about this date? He's like, that's my birthday. I'm like, come on, man. How many of your faith level goes pretty high? And I'm feeling pretty good. I'm like, man, Sean's giving this word. He's talking about how God's going to bless him and how he's coming into a favorable contract season. And I'll tell you something. If you know anything about the prophetic, sometimes you just want to stop when you're ahead. It's a good word. Stop there. And I'm happy. I'm like, man, that's a good word. All right, Sean, hang up. Let's go out for food. And Sean's like, and by the way, you're going to know that this word is a word of the Lord. And all of a sudden, in my mind, I go, oh, no, stop right now. Stop it. Stop it. He's like, you're going to know that this is a word of the Lord. Your team is going to win the Grey Cup next year. And you're going to make the play, the saving play, that's going to help win them the Grey Cup. What do you think about that? My friend's like, yeah. I'm like, no. No. You know why? Sean gets to leave. I'm stuck with that word. See, everyone loves the prophetic. Oh, listen. There's so many times I go in meetings, I can feel the pull of the prophetic. And you're like, oh, please prophesy over me. To those who have got prophetic words, have you ever felt like your life was better before you received the word? Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's like the prophet prophesies over you, someone gives you a word, you're like, oh, thank you. Then it's like you go through the worst season. You're like, God, what's going on? Can I tell you something? The Bible says in Psalms that when the word of the Lord came to Joseph, it tested him. Here's my question to you. How bad do you want to see your prophetic words come to pass? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of just having nice words and nice things on my fridge and nice things as bumper stickers. I want to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I don't want to just talk about his goodness. I want our hospitals to see his goodness. I want our school systems to see his goodness. We need revival. But it's always different than what you think. So here I am, and I'm like, oh, God. Oh, I can't believe the word, and I get the phone back. My buddy's like, this is amazing. Sammy, I can't believe he prophesied that. I'm going to tell everyone on the team. I'm like, Lord, there goes my favor. Because if this word doesn't happen, guess what? It's not Sean is the false prophet. It's Sean and Sammy is the false prophets. I'm guilty by association. I'll tell you something. I have never prayed. You want to talk about prayer? You get yourself in a pickle like this. I've never prayed so hard in my life. I mean, I gathered every prayer warrior. I call them the grizzly grannies. You ever met the grizzly grannies before? I mean the prayer warrior grannies that have been praying like battle prayer for 50 years. Every step's like, shakara bakata da da, Lord, I thank you. Like warrior. I had an army of grizzly grannies. I said, grannies, you've got one mission. And all of them, one mission. I said, you're praying that the Edmonton Eskimos are going to win the Grey Cup. Edmonton win. And I'll tell you something. The season started and they lost 6 of the first 7 games. Oh, the quarterback got injured. Now my friend, this is my buddy Sean. He's a real deal, I'm telling you, real deal prophet. But I'll be honest with you. You know what was going through my heart? Oh, God, I can't believe Sean is a false prophet. Oh, Lord, help. Help, Lord, redeem me, God, redeem me. Pull me away from this situation. I didn't say the word. He said the word God. How do I cut him off nicely? See, it's amazing what people will do when everything's going well. But you really don't know the heart of the matter until you're in the trenches with somebody. See, I'm not looking for people that will just celebrate my victories. I'm looking for someone that has my back in the trenches when I feel like there's nothing, there's no hope. Where are the people that are going to rise and shine like Isaiah 60? In the midst of deep darkness, their God's people is going to shine with the glory. Oh. And so, 7 games go in, and I gather the grannies again. I say, grannies, we need to pray some more because this isn't working. I thought, oh, Lord, help. And so we start praying again. And all of a sudden, the quarterback gets a miraculous recovery. He starts playing. The team wins. Starts winning. Boom, 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 boom. And they make it into the playoffs. And I'm like, praise God. So every single, I cleared my schedule for one purpose. I said, God, even if I'm the only intercessor for the Edmonton Eskimos. Now, I know, listen, I know the theology. God doesn't choose sports teams. Listen, when you get a word that Edmonton's going to win the Grey Cup, I don't care what you think. You're praying. Well, why would God do that? Listen, I'll tell you why. Every single game, every playoff game, I had everyone over. We started praying. All of a sudden, they win the first game. And then the greatest thing happened. They beat the Calgary Stampeders. Praise God. If that offends you, I'll pray for your heart. Nope. I know where there's some Rough Rider fans. But Edmonton makes it to the Grey Cup. And I'm like, this is it. And I put on the biggest spread for those grannies. I had everybody. I had a packed house of intercessors. I've never seen so many praying people in my house. I mean, it was electric. We had the whole thing. We were an hour before singing, how great is our God. I'm like, sing with me, how great. We had it going on. I'm thinking, this is it, God. We're going to see the word. And my friend's going to make the play, and I could see it in my head. And I'm like, Lord, Lord, you're doing this. This is amazing. The game starts. Something like the second or third play in. It's a cold day because we live in Canada. It's November. And my buddy goes up for a to catch a pass, and the ball's coming in pretty fast. And the ball hits his finger, and it breaks his finger. The guy that's supposed to make the play. How many of you go instantly into panic tongues? Shabba-da-ba-ba-ba. Oh, God. Help, help, help. Why am I telling you this? Prophetic words are never like this. They're always like this. You know what I call it? It's called PMS, prophetic mood swings. Everyone thinks their words are always gradual. It's not. You go through mountain tops and you go through valleys, but the truth is this: do not give up. If you don't give up, you win. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter, even if it looks like you're doing ribbons in your life. At the end of the day, it's about getting to the destination. And if Jesus said it, you can do it. So there I am. My friend breaks his finger. I said, Granny, start praying. They start praying. Shabbat, he's out the whole first quarter, the second quarter, the third quarter. The game's going back and forth. And I'll be honest, I'm discouraged. One of the grannies like, honey, you should have a wing. I said, stop it, granny. Get your own wing. Game's neck and neck. I'm telling you, I've never been invested in Canadian football in my life up until this point. I mean, I'm in it. I'm right at the TV like this. All of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, the coach waves in my friend. He's coming in. But it was the worst thing. I looked at his hand. They had a tape up his hand. And he looked like he had a penguin hand. I'm thinking, oh, goodness. Lord, help me. My friend's now the penguin hand wide receiver. That's not going to work in the Grey Cup. Oh, penguin hand. Pengy for short. And I remember, it was like the second play in again. The quarterback throws him the ball. He's got the penguin hand, and he's bobbling the ball, and he drops it. I'm like, oh, man, come on. Lord, forgive him, for he does not know what he's doing. God, touch him now in Jesus' name. The game's going back and forth the whole time. Edmonton's up. Ottawa's up. Edmonton's up. Ottawa. And all of a sudden, there's like less than 2 minutes left in the game. Ottawa's up by 4 points. Edmonton needs a touchdown. And how many know, in Canadian football, we love to be better than the Americans. Can I just say that? We love to be better than Americans, especially in football. Because Americans, they have four downs. We said, forget that. We're better than you. We're going to do three downs. Not just three downs. We're going to have a bigger field and a wider field. And a bigger football. Take that. And Dunkin' Donuts sucks. So it gets to the end of the game. 2 minutes left. They're going down. Here's my friend. They're not throwing anywhere near him. And I'm getting discouraged. And all of a sudden, oh, they get down first. They have to get a first down. It's like they're something like first and seven. And they're probably like 8 or 9 yards away from the end zone. And the quarterback on the first play misses. Quarterback in the second play misses. It's third down. This is the make or break. If they don't get this play in, they will not win the football game. The other team can run out the clock. And Ottawa's going to win. And I'm thinking, Lord, this is it. I'm either going to feel really good or I'm going to feel not so good. And I remember we had like something like 50 people. I mean, I've never seen so many people with glasses watching that TV. I mean, everyone was like this. And here's my friend. He's on the line. And I still remember the third down. This is it. And he's on the line. And the quarterback hikes the ball. And he takes one step and he falls down. And literally, I felt like the father turning away. I'm like, oh, Lord. I can't believe this. I'm like, what happened? And I'm discouraged. I'm about to go get some, you know, therapy wings. And I remember going, and all of a sudden, one of the grannies said, he's getting up! And I'm like, what? So I run over back to the TV. I'm back in. Come on, man. And here's what happened. The quarterback was running around. Riley was running around. Guys were missing him. And because he fell down, all the defenders left him. And he got up. And there he is. He's open. He's got a lane. And I'm not kidding you. Listen, I put my face in front of that TV. I go, run, man, run. Run, man, run. And this guy starts running. And the quarterback throws him the ball. And he one-handed penguin catches that football to make the saving play. And then they won the football game. Come on, somebody. Good old penguin catch, my man. Why am I sharing this? This is the power of the prophetic word. When you don't give up, you win. When you don't give up, you win. And sometimes we get so discouraged because it doesn't look like what we think. But listen, friends, I'm going to tell you something. Revival is always different than what we think. And if it was easy, everybody will be doing it. But I'm telling you, God is not done with Brooks, Alberta. And your greatest season of trial is about to turn into your greatest testimony. And here this guy is. It's the most amazing thing. CBC says, hey, what do you think? Talk about the play. You know what the first thing he does is, I want to give glory to God. Because God spoke to me that I was going to make this catch. And can I tell you something? That man told all of his teammates about the prophetic word. So guess who gets phone calls from all the different athletes? They're saying, hey, Sammy, can you introduce us to your friend, that prophet dude that prophesies new contracts and Grey Cup? You know what it did? This year, 2018, I'm on the committee for the Grey Cup. The committee for the Grey Cup this year in Edmonton. You know why? The power of the prophetic word. Because teams started phoning in, asking for prayer. We started ministering to different athletes all through the CFL because of one word that was released. What does God want to do through you? See, some of you, you've got great dreams and great visions. Some of you haven't even told anybody about because you feel like you're crazy. I've been there. But I'm going to tell you something today. Your word is always going to be greater than the money that you have in your bank. Your word will always be greater than the favor that you have on your life. Because the truth is, if you could do it, it's probably not God. Because at the end of the day, you're here for one purpose. You want to know what that purpose is? To give God glory. To give him glory. It's not about us trying to do it in our strength to receive glory. It's about at the end of our life when we stand before the lover of our soul, the one that paid everything, the one that died on the cross for us, that took the punishment that we could not bear. And when we look at him with his eyes like fire, with love for us, I want to say to him, I gave you everything, Jesus. That's what life's about. Everything else is secondary. But the one thing that remains is, did you give him glory? Friends, I'm going to tell you something. We're past the point of no return. We're past the point where we can play it safe. Friends, we're living in a time right now, in a balance, I believe, where history will write about the faith of the church in this season. And I don't know about you, I'm tired of talking. I want to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want to see my friends that are addicted to pain medication completely, totally delivered. I want to see those that are with depression and oppression set free. And if it's going to happen with somebody, why not you? Come on, somebody, listen. I'm speaking to people here today. Even if you feel like you're beyond hope, I'm going to release hope over you. I got faith that God's going to do something. Because it's bigger than one person. All about family. That's why we're here. That's why you're here today. You're not here for another service. You're here today because you know something in you knows that there's more. You know there's more. You might not know it here, but you know it here. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Revival always starts with a sound. Acts chapter 2, the first thing, it was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Why does it start with a sound? Because it's not about trying to figure it out here. How many know sounds are vibrations? When revival starts to move in a community, you start to feel the vibrations. You know why we're here together? Because we believe that God is not done yet. You know why you're here today? Because you believe that God is alive and that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he wants to do something in you beyond what you can think or imagine. How many say amen? You know, I was praying about this service, and the Lord was speaking to me about unity and how many love coming together? How many want to do this more often? I'll tell you something. I felt like the Lord said we're stronger together, and there's cords that are bringing people together, and we're stronger together. And when we put our influence together, we're going to see that the church is actually a mighty force in our community. When we stop trying to do our own thing, and we get out of a place of entitlement where we feel like people owe us something, I'm going to tell you something, friends. The only thing that we owe people is love. How many believe that Christians should be the happiest people on earth and the most generous people on earth? Can I tell you something about revival? I've seen revival happen in multiple places. One of the first things that takes place is the church is generous in their love. So much so, I remember hosting conferences. We went through a whole season of revival where we had over 6 months of revival in one area, thousands of people giving their life to Jesus Christ. You know what one of the biggest signs was? Generosity. You know what people were doing? People after meetings, it was so crazy. I don't encourage eating late at night, but with friends, it's kind of fun. And now, if my wife was around, I'd be going directly home. Do not pass go. Is this being recorded? Please don't send it to my wife. But you know what's amazing? People after services would go to the Wendy's, and they'd get a meal after service, 1 o'clock in the morning, and they were so touched by the goodness of God. I'm going to tell you something. When you're touched by His goodness, you'll live to give. People would pay for a meal and give $20 as a tip. And they're like, what are you doing? They're like, I want to bless you. They're like, why? Because Jesus loves you. What? You're a Christian? Christians are usually cheap. And I know, listen, I've heard that before. Well, you got to be a good steward with your money. Listen, you're not going to take it with you. There's only so much money you can fit in a coffin. Our life should be living to give. And how many people can we affect? And you know what happened? I started getting phone calls from all the managers of Wendy's, McDonald's, Tim Hortons, phoning us up saying, hey, listen, when's your next conference? When does McDonald's, Wendy's, Tim Hortons phone you to want to sponsor your conference? You know why? All the staff were fighting over who could work those nights because they said there were so many generous Christians. That should be here in Brooks, Alberta. See, there's God ideas, I believe, that are so simple but yet so profound. Some of you today, God's been speaking to you so clear, but you think it's your own thoughts. And we dismiss it so often because we think it's so practical and it's not blow the trumpet 7 times, throw salt in every body of water. Like my friend, his name is Sean, he's a pastor in a church in Ottawa. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I want to give you the keys to the city of Ottawa. How many would like the keys to the city of Brooks? If you knew that God said to you right now, I want to give you the keys to the heart of your city, that you can touch your city in a way that it's never been touched before, that your city will listen to what you have to say. How many would like that? So my friend said, Lord, I'm going to receive that. So he gets up that Sunday, and he's preaching their church of about 200 people in Ottawa, our nation's capital. 1 million people live in Ottawa. He gets up there, says, friends, I'm going to tell you something. God spoke to me that he wants to give us the keys to the heart of Ottawa. And everyone's cheering. And out of his mouth comes, and God's going to give it to me by the time of next Sunday. You ever wanted to pull words back? And he's like, what did I just say? And everyone's crying, oh, pastor, that's amazing. I can't believe you said that. We're going to, you know, believe God and fast for you. And we're expecting the keys. He's like, God, I don't have any keys. So he goes back home. He's like, Sammy, I had no idea. I go back home. I start praying. Oh, Lord, help, 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 help. I do shotgun prayer. Push, 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 push. Aren't you happy God's not Dr. Phil? You know one of the greatest things we can do when we need an answer is stop talking. That's hard for a Robinson, by the way, because we talk a lot. And my friend's literally praying every day. Monday, Lord, I ask, thank you for the keys. Gets nothing. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He gets nothing. On Saturday, he's like, God, give me something. And he gets this faint thought. The key to your city is free gasoline. Get behind me in Jesus' name. Shabba-da-ba-ba. God, I've lost my rocker. Lord, you put me in this difficult position. I'm thinking about stupid stuff like the key to the city is free gasoline. Another time he hears the Lord speak. The key to your city is free gasoline. That's not God. That can't be God. That's too simple. Lord, come on. Tell me what conference I should start. Tell me what to do here. Tell me what to do here. The Lord's like, the key to your city is free gasoline. It was like, Sammy, it was like one of my own thoughts. And it kept coming back and forth, back and back and back. And after six times, he said, the Lord spoke to him like an inner audible. Sean, the key to your city is free gasoline. The key to the city is free gasoline. He's like, God, that can't be. God says, yes, it is. He says, you have another word. No. So he goes to church. The worship's going, everyone's crying. They're like, this is going to be amazing. Our pastor's got the key. And he's like, give us the word. He's like, yeah, I got a word. He gets up there, everybody's quiet. He says, friends, the Lord spoke to me. The key to our city is free gasoline. And it was like a wet balloon just went burnt over everybody. And everyone's like, he's like, Sammy, I didn't have to be prophetic to hear people's thoughts. I could hear, Martha, it's time to leave the church. Like, seriously. Pastor's lost it. Too much keto. No. So he releases this word about being naturally supernatural. And sometimes God is looking for a natural anchor to release a spiritual reality. And he's like, we want to take an offering for this, for free gasoline. I'm like, how much money did you raise? He said, you'll never believe me. I said, how much? He said, of a group of 200 people, we raised over $20,000 for free gasoline. He said, there was a gas station right across from the church. I've been there before. And I think it was an Esso or a Husky. And so Sean goes over and says, listen, I need to talk to a manager. So a manager comes over. He says, listen, I don't think I've ever introduced myself. I'm the pastor of this church. He said, yeah. He's like, I see people coming in and out all the time on Sundays. He said, listen, I want to work with you on a project to bless our city. He said, we just took an offering to bless our city with free gasoline because we know that our city's going through a hard time and we want to give away free gas. They're like, what? Like, how much? Like, they're like, you know, gas is expensive. Yeah, we want to give away $20,000 of free gasoline. This guy went, okay. Let me get back to you. This is amazing. Who are you again? You're that church? They're like, I like this church. He said, I want to get back to you because I want to talk to head office. This guy phones head office. Head office was so blown away by the act of generosity that Husky, I think it was Husky, decided to match their gift and they gave $40,000 of free gasoline. Now check this out. They literally put it out 1 month from that day. On the Saturday, 1 month later, they said, listen, we want to bless our city with free gasoline. People, the paper put in free ads. There was stuff on the radio. It was amazing. And so the morning of, like 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning, supposed to start at 8 a.m., my friend Sean gets a phone call. It's the manager saying, Pastor Sean, we got a problem. He's like, no, what do you mean we got a problem? He's like, we got a problem. What is it? He said, people are lining up right now for free gas. 3 a.m. in the morning. They had a 4-hour wait the whole entire time. They had prayer and ministry teams that were praying and ministering healing while people were getting free gasoline. People were getting led to the Lord because they said, God, if you're real, I need gas in my car to go to work. God would speak to them and say, turn on the radio, and they would hear the ad for free gasoline. The next Sunday, they don't have a big church. Probably, I would say, the sanctuary that they were in was probably half this size. And all of a sudden, that place was packed. They went from 200 to over 400 people in 1 day. Why? Their act of love touched the heart of the city. So I'll tell you something, friends. You can do conferences. You can do all this stuff. But I'll tell you something. If you do not have the keys to the heart of the city, you'll never be able to move that city's heart. We need to ask God for wisdom. Lord, what is the area of need for our city? God, where do you want us to shine? It might be different than what you think. Here's the most amazing thing. Their church explodes with growth. Within 1 month, they grow from 400 to 800 people. They had so many people, they had to start sending people away to other churches. How many would like to do that? Listen, our church is so full. Can you take some people? Can I tell you what will happen? The gossip groups will turn into intercession groups real quick. 1 month later, Sean's ministering. Feels like a regular Sunday. When he gets up, he starts speaking. You know who comes in? You're going to like this. The mayor of Ottawa walks in while Sean is preaching. Walks up the front aisle, comes up right to the front, and my friend Sean's like, what is the mayor doing in my church? I didn't even know he goes to church. I don't even know if he's a Christian. He's like, he's not going into any aisle. He's coming to the front. Lord, what do I do? Help me, Lord. And the mayor comes up to the front, and here's Sean looking at the mayor. The mayor's looking at Sean. Everyone's looking at both of them. Like, what's going on? You ever felt like you get into situations, I don't know what to do. Do you know what to do? No, I don't know what to do. And there they are. They're looking back and forth. And God, he's like, God, what do I do? But the Lord says, Sean, give the mayor the mic. When the mayor asks for the mic, give the mic. So he gives him the mic, and the mayor gets up. This is in Ottawa, you guys, our nation's capital. He says, listen, many of you know me. He's like, I don't normally go to church. I'd say I'm a nominal Christian at best. He's like, but what you did 1 month ago so impacted my life. I cannot eat, sleep, drink anything without thinking about the acts of love that you have done for our city. And he said, if this is real Christianity, I'm here to tell you that I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. The mayor of a million people, our nation's capital, gave his life to Jesus Christ through free gasoline. What ideas have God, has God given you that can transform this city? Some of you today, you're looking at your outward circumstances and it just doesn't match up that inward reality. But I'll tell you something today. It never does. But the greatest thing is this, is that Jesus Christ is the hope of glory and he's inside of you. And that glory can change any situation that you're going through. And I was praying about, I was asking the Lord for a word because we're all together today. And I love this. I got to say this. How many love your pastors? Can we just honor our pastors? Like, seriously. They're not just good pastors. They're also semi-good looking. Like, it's a good thing. You got some good people here. Come on, somebody. I'm just joking. It's anointing. But I have to say this. They're fun. They're actually really good dudes. You got some great people here. Never take leaders for granted. Never. If I've learned one thing in life is to learn how to stay in my lane and be accountable to the things that God has asked me to be accountable for and celebrate everyone else. And I love this because I look at these guys. They're not in competition with each other. They're literally praying for each other. And you know what? They're friends. And I'll tell you something. It's always friendship first before ministry. I've realized I don't go into ministry meetings and all this stuff to build connections in a contact list. All I want to do is learn, God, where are your friends at? And I love what I do because I get to meet awesome people that are here that love Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to see a move of God in this region. I'm believing God for revival in every church. Come on, somebody. This is a prototype of what God's going to do in every church. Even if they don't like you, I believe that God wants to move and he's going to have his way. So praying about this, I said, Lord, I want a word. I don't just want to give you a message. I want a word. I'm not going to be long. Probably, is it okay? Can I go 10 more minutes? We good? I know there's coffee. Tim Hortons. Come on, somebody. Better than Dunkin' Donuts. I said, God, what's the word? Because I know this is a special service. This doesn't happen often. It should happen more. And the Lord started to speak to me. And I don't know if you know this, but a while ago we had an anniversary in Alberta. It was for the Leduc No. 1 oil well. How many have ever heard the story of the Leduc No. 1 oil well? It was when all of a sudden there was a company, and I wanted to share this because I believe it's significant for today. Because God wants to pour out the oil of unity in Brooks. And I love this story about, Leduc No. 1. They had a 70th year anniversary, and I believe it's significant. 70 talks about coming out of captivity. But their story is so fascinating because there are these guys. It was either three or four. There was these guys that believed that there was oil in Alberta and that there was going to be a large find. And so they started a company. And I don't know if you know this, but they started a company called Imperial Oil. You know what that word imperial means? Royal. How many know there's royal oil in Brooks, Alberta? And they believed with all their heart that they were going to find oil in Alberta. They gave everything to the cause of finding oil. So much so that they got all these investors and they started to drill for oil one time, 10 times, 15 times, 50 times, 100 times. And then they got to a place where they had drilled 132 times and they did not find oil. I don't know about you. I probably would have given up after five. I'm like, I'm going to go to a hockey game. That's probably what I'm going to do. They drilled 132 times. Do you know how costly that is to drill? Some of you, you work in the oil field. You know it's expensive to drill for oil. 132 times they drill. Nothing. All the investors say, we want to pull out. So you know what they did? They got together, all of them, and they literally pleaded with every investor. And they said, listen, we want to drill one more time. Say one more time. Can I tell you something, friends? I believe right now, God is about to do something in Canada, and he's looking for the church to strike the ground one more time. Even if you feel like, man, I've done this before, I've tried the unity thing, I'm going to tell you something. Strike the ground one more time. And here's this group. They literally go to every single investor and they beg and plead, don't give up on us. There's oil here. There's oil in Alberta. Don't give up. We believe that there's oil. And so they went to every investor. They said, listen, we'll give you that one more time. Their 133 drill went down and they struck oil, the largest oil find at the time worth billions of dollars that stimulated the Alberta economy and brought in a wave of immigration into Alberta like we've never seen before. The Lord said, that's prophetic for today. I'm like, really? I'm like, I know we live in Alberta. I know it's oil country, all this stuff. Have you ever felt like Jesus has to be Captain Obvious to you? Because I'm like, I know there's something prophetic. What's 133? What's 133? What's, I'm thinking 133. I'm like, that's got to be something. I'm not a numbers guy, but I'm really feeling like that's speaking to me. And then Jesus speaks to me. Hey, Sammy, it's Psalms 133. I want you to turn with me to Psalms 133. What does Psalms 133 say? Behold, say behold. When you hear that word behold, you know what that means? Pay attention. I want you to get this. Pay attention right now. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now look at this. It is like the precious oil. Wait a second. Imperial Oil, 133 times. They struck oil in Alberta, largest oil find. Wait a second. It's precious oil, 133. Psalms 133. It's talking about precious oil that's found in unity. Can I tell you something, friends? If we want to see revival, we need the oil of unity to flow in our region. And I love this because it goes down. It is like precious oil upon the head. Say the head. Can I tell you who the head is today? Jesus. Jesus is the head. And then it says something. It says, running down on the beard, say beard, the beard of Aaron. I want you to get something. It's very prophetic. Aaron was the high priest. And you know what a beard represents? Leadership. How many times have we seen God wants to pour something out? But because leaders are not in unity and leaders fight against each other, the oil gets stopped in the beard. And the oil doesn't flow because leaders refuse to work together. I'm telling you, friends, right now, what God is doing in this region is a sign that the oil is going to flow freely again. Because the Bible says in Isaiah, Isaiah prophesies about Jesus. And I was praying today, and I saw what it was like the face of Jesus before he went to the cross, and he was beaten. And in Isaiah, he prophesies that his beard would be plucked out. And I saw the face of Jesus with his beard plucked out. It was bloody and messy, and it was like completely unrecognizable. I'm like, Lord, what are you showing me? He said, Samuel, I allowed them to pluck out my beard so leaders could work together. Friends, we got to let go of all these other differences, all these things. Listen, don't let offense stop you from breakthrough. I'm going to tell you something, friends. We need to get this. Some of us, we need to move past our offenses. You have way too much on the other side to get caught up in offense. Offense is the greatest killer of destiny. I believe God is turning a page in this region. It's a new season. It's a new day. I don't know what's gone on here in the past. And the truth is, I don't want to know. Because God is doing a new thing. And you can't take old vision into a new season. Some of us, we got to shut the door of the past if we want the new doors to open of the future. And I feel for too long we've been bound up. And what have other people done against us? Listen, we've all done stuff against Jesus. And he still loves us. And I'm so thankful for the Son of God that took on every sin, your sin and my sin, upon him. And he didn't even open up his mouth. He took it because he loved us. I believe, friends, we're in a day right now where God wants to pour out precious oil. It'll cost you something. It cost me a lot. When I first got married, and I'm going to end with this story. I'm going to pray because there's an oil that's going to come. And you're going to realize something. I believe Scotiabank got it right. How many know who Scotiabank is? You know the commercial they do? You're richer than what you think. The Lord told me one time, he said, you're richer than what you think. I said, God, I don't feel it. He said, Samuel, you might not feel like you're rich in finances, but you're rich in relationships. And he says, that's the greatest kind of riches that you can have, people that you can walk with all the days of your life. I'm around influential people. I'm around billionaires, people with money and fame. I'll tell you something. Many of them walk very lonely lives because they never open up their heart. But when the Lord spoke to Chris and I, my wife, when we first got married, Lord called us to move to a place called Abbotsford, B.C., and then move to Langley, B.C., and we started hosting conferences for the purpose of seeing revival and unity. And I remember it was like 2 or 3 years in, and I'm just going to be vulnerable with you. One of my friends, and I, comes up to me and says, listen, Sammy, I don't know if you know this. Can I tell you something, friends? We have to be careful that we don't call gossip discernment. Because we sure talk bad about a lot of people. And can I tell you something? We got to stop. Because you know what? I'm glad that Jesus doesn't talk that way when he's sitting at the right hand of the Father about you and about me. And this guy comes up to me. He's a good friend of mine. He said, listen, he's like, did you hear what that pastor has said about you? I wanted to say, don't tell me. But then he goes on to tell me. He's like, did you hear what they said? The pastor of the largest church in Abbotsford, 3,500 member church. He's preaching about you from the pulpit, telling you that you're not of God, that you're false, that you're going to hell, that all these people that are with you are going to hell. And listen, you're of the devil. What do you think? I'm like, what do I think? Don't even ask me that. Because I want to give that pastor, I'm going to be real, the right hand of fellowship. Just a little one. I'll ask for forgiveness after. I'll pray for him. Healing. But I was mad. I'm like, what? He said what? And I'm like, and he goes over again. And I'm just furious. I remember going home. And I'll tell you something. I'm so thankful for my wife. We need friends in our lives that can see things that we can't see in ourselves. Because I go home and I'm mad. I'm mad. And I don't normally get mad. But when I get mad, my head goes red and everything. I feel like Yosemite Sam. You know what I'm talking about? I'm walking around like, I can't believe this, Lord. Why would he do this? Oh, my goodness, Lord, I can't even believe he's in ministry. How does he even have a church, God? I'm thinking, Lord, act in vengeance for me. And my wife says, baby, are you okay? I said, no, I'm not okay. And I go over the whole thing again. This guy said this about me. He said this about me. Can you believe that? And she's just smiling. And she's making me more mad. Have you ever felt like your spouse makes you more mad when they don't get as angry as you are? And I'm like getting more upset. And I'm thinking, why aren't you agreeing with me? And she says, honey, can I stop you? I said, no. She says, yes. Just gotta tell you something. There's two options you have. You need to go downstairs, away from me, and pray. Or you need to take a nap, because you're exhausting. You're supposed to support me. No, I didn't say it that loud. Are you kidding me? So I go downstairs, and I'm mad. You know why? Words hurt. Let's be real, friends. Words hurt. Nobody wants. I don't look at things when people say, you know, this person, you know, Sammy Robinson's like this. I don't think, oh, my goodness, bless Jesus. I thank you that, you know, my reward's in heaven. Words hurt. Let's be real. When people close to you say stuff or not close, they don't know you, and you're like, what's your deal? Words hurt. But here's the truth. It's how you react to those words that make the difference. Will you allow those words to affect you? Because if you feel like they're affecting you, that means that you're trying to, oof. That means that there's a lie in you that's believing that some of those words are true. When you realize that those words aren't true and it's not you, those words can fall to the ground. But when you don't know your identity, and there's a lie that speaks, well, maybe there is. And I remember, I'm so mad. And I try to pray for him. I honestly goodness, try to pray. I'm downstairs. I'm like, Lord, bless him. Lord, bless him. God, hit him with a bus. No, Lord, forgive me. Lord, bless him. For like 10 minutes, I'm back and forth. And then the Lord's like, are you done? I'm like, okay, yeah, I guess I am. He's like, I'm going to give you two keys for breakthrough, to get over offense, because it's the number one thing that kills revival is the spirit of offense. I said, okay, what do I do? He said, I want you to pray for him like he's your best friend. I said, God, did you realize what he said to me? Because he didn't act like my best friend. I'm like, are you kidding me? You want me to pray like he's my best friend? He's like, I want you to pray for him like he's your best friend. I want you to see in him the way that I see him, in his original God intent. I'm like, okay. And then the second thing, and I'll tell you something, I almost choked. Some of you, it's going to be the same thing. You know why? Because you're like, oh yeah, I'll pray. But you know what the Lord told me right after? He said, here's your second thing. You're offended by him? I want you to give into his ministry. I said, God, I can give him my words, but I'm not giving him my money. You know what the Lord told me? Then you're a hypocrite. He said, you have a form of godliness that denies the power. And if you would truly operate in love, love always requires action. And I'm like, no! I'm like, Lord, I'm holding on. I can't, Lord, I can't do it. God says, when you do it, you pray for him and you give in to him. You align your heart with my heart and you can truly love him. You can't just pray. You have to pray and you have to act. And when the two come together, you have the heart for the person. So you know what I started doing for 6 months? I prayed from every single day, even when I didn't want to, even when there was more stuff coming out. And it's like the more I prayed, the worse it got for a season. And I remember writing out checks. It was angry checks. You ever had angry writing? Put them in. But you know what happened? Not right away. Because the truth is, I had wounds in my heart that needed to get healed. It took time. I'll tell you something. Healing of the heart can be instantaneous, but also sometimes it takes time. And I realized it was like therapy for my soul. I started praying after about 2 months. Got easier. 3 months, it got easier. All of a sudden, I'd pray for him. I'd start to cry. And I came into the heart of the Father, and I could start to see him in his original God intent. Not what was going on right, what I saw in the moment, but I could see the Jesus in him. After 6 months, I remember going on a prayer walk, and I get a phone call. It's the pastor of the big church. I don't even know how he got my number. I didn't want to answer the phone. God says, answer the phone. I'm like, there's not a chance. God says, pick it up. So I pick it up. I'm like, hello? I wanted to be like, you got the wrong number. Sorry, bye. He says, hi, is this Samuel Robinson? I'm like, yes. He's like, listen. He's like, I need to meet with you for coffee. We got to talk. Oh, okay. So where does every pastor meet? Starbucks. So I go to Starbucks. It was like a week later. I'll tell you something. I've never done this before, and I've never done it since. But I went that meeting that day 30 minutes early. All I did was the Jericho March around my table. I didn't care how many people were in the room. I said, God, I thank you that this place is a place of peace. No punches will be thrown. Lord, I thank you that if he says anything negative, God, Lord, I pray that right now just a wall of protection. I'm like, Lord, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. I thought, Lord, I can take one in the chin. So he gets there. He's nervous. I'm like, this is not good. I'm nervous. He's nervous. We're all nervous. So what do you do? You know, I try to buy some time. I said, hey, can I buy you coffee? He's like, I don't want coffee. I'm like, tea? No tea. I'm like, okay. So we sit down, and I'm like, oh, man, help. He says, I got to talk to you. I'm like, oh, you do? He says, yes. It's been on my mind for the last couple weeks. I said, okay. I want to close my eyes. The moment he starts talking, he starts to cry. Mr. Robinson, I want to tell you something. You've probably heard about what I've said about you. He's like, I want to apologize. That wasn't right. He's like, I notice that there's been this anonymous donor for the last 6 months sewing in to our church. Has that been you? I said, yes, sir. He's like, why would you do that? I said, you know why? Because Jesus told me that I had issues with my own heart. And I'll tell you something. I realized that day, people can say stuff about you, but sometimes you have to deal with your own heart too. Not just ask God to deal with their stuff. You need to deal with your stuff. Because sometimes the offense that is released actually exposes things that are in your heart. And I'm thankful for the great people in my life, and I'm thankful for the people that will be great in my life. And this man says, Mr. Robinson, I'm here to tell you, I apologize for everything that I said. It wasn't right. And he said something to me that has given me a grace for every church and every denomination. And I'm believing God with all my heart that we will see. I'm talking about Jesus' reward in all these churches, that the Spirit of God will move on every church. He said, Mr. Robinson, I want to tell you something. He's like, we fear what we don't know. And he says, I have to be real with you. He says, I've been subject to the spirit of fear because I didn't get this prophetic stuff. I didn't get this miraculous stuff. I was afraid of it. And because I was afraid of it, I attacked it because that's how I know how to deal with my fear. I try to attack things. But he says, from today on, he says, you've demonstrated something to me. That love truly is greater than any fear. And your love has delivered me from my fear of all this stuff. And I want to tell you that from today on, my church of 3,500 members is going to help serve your vision and help bring unity for harvest in this city. And he said the second thing. How many know God can restore everything that the devil tries to steal? He says, on the second thing, on behalf of our church, we want to sow into your ministry and your events. He slides me a check for $50,000. Relationship, I know, is not easy. I'm thankful for a wife that helps me every day. Because there's many times, you know what? We could throw in the towel with people. And in some ways, we'd feel justified. But aren't we grateful that Jesus has never given up on us? And can I tell you something, friends? Today, there's people in this room right now. I want to encourage you. You might not know them yet, but you should know them. Because this city needs a body that is operating together as one. Jesus said they would know you by your love for one another. And I feel in this season, if we could get this right, it will change everything about how people perceive the church. If we could love each other and ask God for breakthrough in our friends' lives, just like how we pray for our lives, we'll see revival. So I want to end with something. Two things, actually. Where's my pastor buddies? Can you guys stand up? Come on. I'm putting you, you didn't even know I was going to do this. This is called Jehovah Sneaky, baby. Let me tell you. Here's what we're going to do. I want you guys to come to the front. Come with me. The Lord, come with me. I want, where's, also too, like both your spouse too, where's every, is, I'm pulling you up. I'm putting you on the spot. How many are so blessed by these guys? Can we just show appreciation? I love this. And I was just thinking, can we do something? Can you guys hold hands? Aw. This is awesome. Because the Lord spoke to me and said, you're stronger together. And that it's not just, listen, there's ministry, but then there's relational ministry. And I feel like what God is doing is it's bigger than one person. And this is a sign, not just for this region, but for Canada, that we can work together to see his kingdom come, his will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And I want to do something today, because the blessing is greater than the curse. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, I want to break off any curses that Christians have spoken against their pastors and their leaders in this season. And I feel like what we need to do is we need to pray for them. We need to support them. We need to lift them up in this season, because I believe we're going to see leaders walk together like we've never seen before. How many say amen? So can we do something as a body today? I want us all to stand up. I want us all to stand up. Whew. This is going to be good. This is going to be really good. I'm putting you guys on the spot, man. It's kind of fun. I'm not going to lie. But the blessing is greater than the curse. And I'm telling you right now, here's what I want us to do. All of us today, as a prophetic act, stretch out your hands towards them. Because here's what the Lord, I literally saw this in the spirit. I saw us stretching out our hands. And we're going to prophesy three words. We bless you. And I believe that whatever's happened in previous seasons, whatever's been spoken over the Church of Brooks, every negative word is going to fall to the ground. And there's a wave of anointing oil that's coming over Brooks and over the churches and over the businesses and over this whole region. There's a blessing, because the Bible says that God will command a blessing, life forevermore. You know what that is, friends? Right now, that is a move of God. God will command a move to come when we lift each other up. And so at the count of three, we're going to prophesy over them three words. We bless you. You ready? One, two, three. We bless you. 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 Come on, let's give the Lord a shout of praise. And God, I thank you that from today forwards, Lord, you're doing a new thing in Brooks. And this is a sign that churches are walking together in unity. And God is turning a page in this region. And it's a fresh season. And it's filled with hope. It's filled with glory. And it's filled with his presence. In Jesus' name. And how many say, amen. We're going to do one more thing. I want right now, as an act of family today, I want you to grab the person's hand to the left and to the right. All over this room. I know you're like, man, I don't know if that person, you know, washed their hands. It's okay. You can wash your hands after. See, this is a powerful sign. You know what this is right here? When the Father sees this, he sees the face of his Son. Because we are one body today. We might come from different churches, but we are one body. And when the world sees this, they see Jesus. And friends, I'm going to tell you something today. Right now, here's what I want us to do. I want to take 3 minutes. Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. This is going to be an application right now. This is a prayer application. It's a holy thing today. I want you to take 3 minutes, and I want you to pray your best prayer for the person to your left and for the person to your right like you are praying for yourself. Because the truth is, if you want breakthrough, I guarantee you it will be accelerated when you start to pray for other people's breakthroughs. Because when we focus not on ourselves but on each other, I'll tell you something, God will do a work beyond what we can think or imagine. And so at the count of three, I want us to start to pray family revival, healing, financial breakthrough, whatever you feel to pray. I want you to release it at the count of three and pray it out loud that you can hear it and the person can hear it. I know some of us, we were like, I'm an introvert. Well, today you're not. I encourage you. Everyone's a Robinson. All of us are Tiggers right now for 3 minutes. Then we can have our Tim Hortons and our donuts. So the count of three. One, two, three. Father, right now, I thank you, Lord, for the releasing of family revival right now. Lord, over my brothers and sisters. Father, I thank you right now for breakthrough in every area of their life. Lord, I thank you right now for the person to my left and the person to my right, God. Lord, I thank you that you're doing a new thing in them, God, beyond what they can think or imagine. Lord, we thank you right now, Lord, that their kids right now are getting touched right now by the power of God. I speak right now destiny over children. I speak destiny right now over grandkids, Lord. Release your glory in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, God. Lord, release your glory over them. Send them to the nations, God. Lord, release right now financial breakthrough in Jesus' name. Come on, two more minutes. Lord, we release your glory over them. You're the glory and the lifter of their head, God. Lord, we release right now, Lord, angels to remove all roadblocks, God, in this season. Lord, we thank you right now for destiny to be released, clarity to be released in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you right now. A minute and a half. Come on. A minute and a half. Let's keep going. Lord, we thank you right now for unity. We thank you, God, for family restoration in Jesus' name. Lord, we release boldness, God. Lord, we thank you for the spirit of boldness to come right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, God, Lord, for revival. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for an increase of your presence, an awareness. One more minute, come on. Lord, we thank you right now. Release it, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you right now, Lord, that their kids are going to serve the Lord. Like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, I thank you. Release it in Jesus' name. Lord, release breakthrough in every area, healing in their bodies. Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, when they go to work, Lord, let them be a sign and a wonder, Father, right now. Lord, release it in Jesus' name. Come on, 15 more seconds. Give it everything you got, 15 more seconds. Lord, release your glory. Release your fire, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, let them carry the joy of the Lord in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for it. 10 more seconds. God, release your glory over them. Father, release breakthrough. Lord, let them encounter you afresh. In Jesus' name.